Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Believe. Rejoice. Share. The first part of today's gospel has three themes. The angels told the women to believe. Believe. Jesus is risen. And he invites them to come and see where he had lain and to see that he was no longer there. Believe, believe. And they saw and they believed, and their response was joy. They went with great joy that the Lord did not die vanquished, but that he was resurrected and alive. Joy. And they were told to share. Share the good news. Go tell his brothers, the disciples, the apostles, what they had seen. And they were going in great joy when they met the Lord. And it says they fell at his feet and they worshiped him. They recognized him, not as a simple man, but as God. Worship is due only to God, and they worshiped him. The last part of the gospel is an assurance, a command, and a promise. As the disciples, as the apostles meet Jesus in Galilee, he says to them, "All authority in heaven has been given to me." All authority. Remember his life. Remember as he walked on the earth. At one point they say, "Lord, when will the end of the age come?" And he responds, "No one knows this, not the angels, not the Son, but the Father only." Now there's a puzzle for us, because Christ is God. He knows everything. How could the Son not know the end of the age? We also look at another mystery. Christ is God. God cannot die. How is it that Christ died on the cross? These are mysteries. Some believe it may be as simple as divine restraint. That though he was fully God and fully man, Christ elected in those moments not to be fully divine. In those moments, he chose not to know the end of the age. And he chose to allow death to come to his body. Scripture says that he also learned obedience. But God, who is the ultimate authority, God who created the world, to what should he be obedient? And yet Christ chose to humble himself and become obedient. Obedient to his parents, but also obedient to the Father. Now, he is resurrected. He has vanquished death. And he proclaims, "All authority is mine." He proclaims the authority that he now has. And he says, "Go." He gives the command, "Go and teach all nations. Teach them who I am. Teach them that I offer life. And then the promise, I am with you always. What a promise. Today, we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. And when you hear the word, Christ is risen, what do you respond?
He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed. We rejoice. We believe. And we're told to share. And we're given the promise that he is with us always. We know that in baptism we receive, and in chrismation we receive the Holy Spirit. He's with us always from our baptism. Even before that, he is with us because he gives us life. He holds us together. This promise is a beautiful promise. But it's also a Eucharistic promise. Because he comes physically to be amongst us at the consecration of the bread and the wine. Today we read in 1 Corinthians the words of St. Paul. And St. Paul says that Christ is the first fruit. Reading from verse 20, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. We look at this. And we have to ask ourselves, what was St. Paul saying? What does he mean by first fruits? Why does he refer to our Lord as the first fruit? Remember, Lazarus had been raised from the dead. And the little girl that Christ called Talitha, she had been raised from the dead. And there are other stories in the Bible of individuals being raised from the dead. Even in the Old Testament, the prophets raising people from the dead. But you see, they were raised back into mortal life. Christ has been raised to immortal life, and he can never die again. Each of those people, their bodies died. And now they await the resurrection into eternal life. But Christ has conquered death, and death is no more. But St. Paul has mentioned this about the first fruit, calling Christ the first fruit. You see, in the Jewish faith, there was a feast. There were seven feasts commanded by the Lord. One of those feasts was the Feast of the First Fruits. And we read in Leviticus 23, beginning with verse 10, say to the sons of Israel, when you come into the land which I give you and reap its harvest, you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, that you may find acceptance on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it. And on the day when you wave the sheaf, you shall offer a male lamb, a year old, without blemish, as a burnt offering to the Lord. And the cereal offering with it shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, to be offered by fire to the Lord, a pleasing odor. And the drink offering with it shall be of wine. You shall neither eat bread nor grain until this same day, until you have brought the offering of your God. It is a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. Brothers and sisters, do we not see a fulfillment of this feast in our Eucharistic feast? This is the feast of the first fruits. We complete and fulfill what God began in Leviticus here at this command to celebrate first fruits. You see, we do not celebrate, well, we do celebrate on Saturday, on the Sabbath, but our primary celebration is on Sunday, the day after the Sabbath. This is the day that Christ rose from the dead. It fulfills perfectly this command that the wave offering should be presented on the Sabbath. And when you see during the liturgy, the priest or the bishop lift up the elements before the Lord, we're reminded of the priest waving the first fruits before the Ark of the Covenant. Christ is alive. He has resurrected. And he has promised us that he will be with us always. And as often as we gather around the altar to receive his precious body and his precious blood, we proclaim that he is the first fruits. He is the Lamb of God. He is the one who has conquered death. And because of that, he gives us his body and blood as an offering that we can then make to his Father in heaven. An offering of atonement and reconciliation, that we may receive his blessings all the days of our life. Today, may the risen Lord reign within your hearts, now and always, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.